Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne.
And it's me, Ellie Gibson.
And tonight we are joined by Tim Dowling.
Hooray!
Hooray!
You're Tim's here. Just nodding and smiling, yeah.
He's less excited than us that he's here. Thank you.
Our first American on the podcast.
Oh.
Yeah, it is.
Wow.
Yeah, it is good.
I'm honoured.
Yeah.
And a little surprised that you haven't had any Americans.
I know, we've done like 60-odd podcasts and you're our first yank.
Helen hates them though, you see. She's a terrible racist, Tim. Sorry. You're going to find out anyway.
That's right. That's right. Okay, so for those of you who don't know Tim, he's a Guardian columnist, an author, a dad, a banjo player, and a Lady Gaga fan, apparently. Is this true?
I don't know where that bit comes from.
That comes from the internet, Tim.
I'm an admirer of Lady Gaga. I'm not a particular fan.
Oh, really?
I'm not one of the, what are they called, little monsters?
Oh, right. On your band website, it says, your favourite artiste is Lady Gaga. Your band members yanking your chain?
They were angry. The person
who did our website. Did you see she did an anti-American joke there? Did you get that? Yeah.
No, it's the person who did our website is angry because I never filled out the questionnaire online that was meant to go.
Right.
So he put those responses in there and they will stay there until, because I can't get online, I don't know the codes to change it myself, until I go back and basically apologise to him and give him my real choices. And
always be nice to the IT guy, Tim.
I refuse to do that on principle.
Well, I just hope Lady Gaga's not listening to this because she's going to be very disappointed. She's just lost a fan.
I love her work.
So we're going to do like a husband and dad special on the podcast today because Tim's written a book. It's called How to Be a Husband.
Hooray!
How do you be a husband?
It's just about hanging in there, really. It's not...
Yeah.
It's pointedly not called How to Be a Good Husband.
Okay, Tim, tell us about your family.
I have a wife and I have 3 children, 3 sons... Mm-hmm. The oldest one's 21. 18, the other one just turned 18 the other day. And 16.
Do they sleep through the night? Please tell me they sleep through the night, Tim. Please tell me they do.
No, they sleep through the day. No. Hardly ever see them. Every once in a while I get
an email.
I send out a text that says, you know, where are you? Where have you been? And you just get a text back 4 hours later that says, what's good, cuz?
So I read in The Guardian recently that you talked about how childhood goes really quickly. And did you always think that was a cliche? But is it actually true? Like, you've got kids at the other end, you know?
I always did think it was a cliche because it's one of those things that people say to you when they're at that age, when they're completely sticky all the time, all three of them. And just at that point where they're completely out of control in a home base on a Saturday, some sort of elderly person will come up to you and say, enjoy it while it lasts. It goes by so fast.
Oh.
And you think,
no,
are
it's
you
not.
Joking?
Smash them over the head with a lampshade.
I've been with them for an hour and it feels like an entire week.
Yeah. Saturdays go on.
But then
forever.
Suddenly it's over. I mean, it's basically over. Mm. They still need money from me and things. But you feel that sort of thing where they really don't come to you for anything except your credit card number. And it seems like the blink of an eye all of a sudden.
Mm. Do you miss it?
Yes, and I think everyone probably will feel like this when they get to this age, is you feel like you didn't pay close enough attention. In one of my drawers, I found a Walkman, a recording Walkman, that still had the last cassette in it that I used before it suddenly became obsolete. And it was me interviewing the youngest one, and I didn't recognise his voice. It was so completely different to his voice now.
Mm. Did you have a little cry, Tim?
So much higher and kind of posher.
So what advice would you... So Helen and I, we're sort of still in the trenches. Because our children range from 1 to 7. So what advice would you give for us for
kind of... I would say enjoy it. It goes by so fast.
Get out! Right, I'm going to ring you from home base tomorrow.
It's not going fast, Jim! Yes.
I can't imagine how long it would take me to get even one of my children to come to home base with me.
You can't bribe them with Haribo anymore?
You've got to get them out of bed, you've got to wake them up. No, you can't bribe them with Haribo.
Do the stakes get higher? Because at the moment, I feel like I'm in control with Haribo and biscuits. Like, I feel like...
Yes,
you know,
do.
I've got it set.
Because they... I mean, I hate doing certain things alone. You know, like, I'd hate going to the cinema alone. I hate eating by myself in a restaurant. Mm-hmm. I don't really like doing anything like going to the supermarket on my own. Mm-hmm. Although I can.
Good on you.
I did it yesterday.
Wow.
No, not that weird.
But I always like having a sort of errand friend. Mm-hmm. And that's what kids are great for when they're about eight.
Yeah.
You know, when they're babies, it's horrible.
Yeah.
They just pull things off the shelves as you go by. And at about eight, and they'll do it for 50 pence. You know, the promise of some Haribo, they will do anything like that. They'll look for your glasses for an hour and a half.
This is why I had children.
Yeah.
And you suddenly think, this is what it's all about.
Yeah,
something back.
And now you really like, it's like, I want a PlayStation, or a guitar, or a drum kit, or I want to go to a festival in Spain. You think, with fuck
not,
you.
Not with you?
I'm not going to a festival in Spain, because I'm not coming home base.
Oh, they're big stakes, aren't they?
Home base versus Bilbao. Yeah. What are you going to do?
Exactly, I don't know. Right.
But what you do is you go to home base by yourself.
Oh, well, do you know what, Tim? You can always borrow one of our children. You really want
to. They're great for supermarkets.
One of the sticky ones?
Yes.
Yeah. We actually had some like sunlight the other day in South London, and through the back room came sunlight through the windows, and just the filth. The film on the back window of the sticky hands and probably even snot. They've just sort of stuck their faces on it. It is sticky. It is sticky.
I remember the car that we had when they were... And all the sort of flat raisins and everything.
Yeah.
But as Nigel Slater once said to us... I once tweeted Nigel Slater saying something like, I've made your sticky chicken wings, but I think I've put too much honey in. Is they going to be too sticky? And he said... I don't think there's any such thing as too sticky. And I was genuinely aroused for about half an hour.
We were sitting on this couch, actually, when it happened, and we were just literally on the floor going...
I've got a four-year-old here who will challenge that theory.
Now that you're an experienced parent, I'll say experienced, I'm not giving you any other...
I have experienced it.
You have experience. What advice would you give either your old self or parents who are about to... or people are about to embark on this fatherhood... Shiz.
I think it's kind of like any, you know, the advice you'd give to a recovering alcoholic. I mean, it's one day at a time.
Yeah.
You just do it in very small chunks, and you think, when this is when I, you know, have to stop letting him feed me this raisin that he's more or less already eaten. You know, a half hour from now, then maybe I can watch 15 minutes of SpongeBob and fall asleep in my own lap. They were the sort of right spread of age. I didn't do anything specifically wrong, I don't think. But you don't realise how much of a slog it is. How much it hurts your back and how much it hurts your legs and knees. And it's just that thing. I started out being one of those people who would just carry them everywhere. Just quicker. And slowly one arm gets bigger than the other and you start to lean over like this and you just realise it's like take your time a little bit and sort of it's fine.
Yeah.
Get the pushchair, set it up. Put the buggy board on the back, then you can take two of them to the park, and you won't be a wreck when you get there. When they get a bit older, never tell them where you're going until they're all in the car.
That is such good advice. We've joined up with like English Heritage. We're like, we're going to a castle. No, we don't want to go to another castle. They suck. I don't know why I'm saying in an American accent. Am I doing that weird thing?
Because you're racist and you're trying to make Tim feel uncomfortable, Helen.
I always do that thing. Jesus. I try, my accent goes all weird, my mouth's confused.
Yes, we've heard that before.
Just say, well, if you're good, there'll be ice cream at the end. Never say really that the good. Beginning part is the Serpentine Gallery.
But there's a new installation, there's an architect. Pavilion, man.
I once took them up there to look at the pavilion that they do. And the pavilion was shut for some private thing. And they're just like leaning on the railings looking into it, going, can we get some ice cream now? And I looked over and it was this sort of Jeff Koons exhibition at the Serpentine. I said, let's go and see that. It's really, really fun. And they were like, no way. And one of them flung himself. He used to fling himself flat onto the ground. making stuff very hard to pick up.
Oh, that's relaxing.
But I took them in there, and they were furious. They hate, you know, children are natural haters of modern art. Mm. This is rubbish. I don't get this at all. Well, who cares about a pool toy, an inflatable pool toy stuck through a chain link fence?
But it's a puppy man of flowers, you fuckheads!
The thing is, it's not. It looks like an inflatable pool toy, but it's made of metal. And they went. They all reached out like that immediately to touch it. We were chased out by guards, and they made a game of it. They went. They ran from room to room, trying to touch the metal things before the guards could find them. And I couldn't. There's three of them, so if they split up,
I'm sunk. God. Yeah.
So you've been doing your like guarding column since like 2007. So these kids,
these sticky kids
have given you a bit of material along the way.
And I know they read it sometimes, don't they? And they get cross.
They never used to read it.
Right.
Well, they were quite young, I suppose, at the beginning. And they never took any interest in it. But I came to a point where I had to promise them £5. £5 if they were quoted directly.
Wow.
But I said to them, it's not my job to like basically point out to you that you were quoted directly. If you find it and you bring it to me, I will pay. And they don't read it very often. I've had to shout out like 4 times in 9 years.
That's all right.
Let's hope they don't listen to this, because I'll be going through your back catalogue.
When you wrote about 5-2 and your wife.
There was a thing where we were meant to apply. I think the Guardian rang a bunch of journalists and asked them to apply the 5-2 principle.
Yes, yeah.
I.e. 5 days on, 2 days off. To other areas of your life.
Yeah.
And I got saddled with my marriage.
Yeah, yeah.
So I rang up a sort of relationship counsellor and said, here's this idea that I've been forced, more or less against my will, to comply with. He said, whatever the 2 days that you do this, you must make sure that they're not the same 2 days that she's fasting on the 5-2 diet.
Yeah, that's what got me, because Will and I were trying the 5-2 diet and we couldn't do it on the same day, because when he was doing it, he was fucking hopeless. Like, he was so hungry and tired and just like, I don't know where my shoes are. Like, just eat a biscuit, you dickhead. And then I would do it, and I would be like, I'm so tired.
Excuse me, I spend a lot of time with you when you're very hungry, and you don't sit around going, I'm so tired. You sit around going, oh my god, I want some biscuits. Why haven't we, Helen? We're trying to finish this. Where are the biscuits? That's what you sound like.
Yeah, I was like, have you got any crisps?
No, you're not. You're like, why haven't you got any crisps?
So when you wrote that thing about the 5-2, it really struck a chord. So thank you, Tim Dowling, from The Guardian. That's what I'm trying to say. I like your work.
Thank you.
What does your wife think of the column?
She's very understanding.
Forgiving.
Mostly. I mean, she does say, you know, she says, I can't say that that's not what I'm like. And usually she doesn't, she's absolutely completely thick-skinned. She doesn't mind any of that sort of thing. And occasionally I get it completely wrong. And she gets very, very angry. And I think, oh my god, I'm going to have to stop doing this column without even, like, giving anyone any notice. That's only happened 2 or 3 times. And it was always a complete surprise. I have no idea what you're so angry about.
And you paid her £5.
£5.
And gave her some Haribo and sent her to Spain. And it was fine.
She got very worried, like, that it would get her into trouble at work or something.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, you're being crazy. This is nothing going to happen.
How do you get into how do you prepare for fatherhood? Or should you just dive in?
I don't know. I mean, I certainly wasn't prepared. I mean, I think everybody knows that, how that difficult conversation about starting a family begins. Mm. Mine began with my wife throwing a pregnancy test at me and saying, oh my god, I'm fucking pregnant.
The blue line of truth. I weed on something and you're going to be a dad.
Everything that you realise in hindsight. Like, I have 3 children, I know that 3 children is too many. 2's fine.
Helen knows that because she's been told that by her own father. Yeah, it's nice.
I'm one of 5. Wish he had 2. I'm number 4.
Yeah. But I think it's like you're completely unprepared for it. And I think that's sort of how it's meant to be.
Mm.
You can read the book. I went to 1 childbirth class, but I was the only man that turned up. And they said, no, stay. And then they made me lie on a mat and exercise my vagina.
Wow, how do you do that, Tim?
Well, again, later on, Tim.
I don't know. I didn't know how to do it. And then in the tea break, all the women were like, your husband's very brave to come. And she said, he's gone. As soon as they said tea, he got into the car and went home.
Oh, yeah. But as you say, you've been a husband for a long time, despite, as we've seen from your column, let's say quite a lot of ups and downs, amazing, and your column, yeah. How do you stay married? Please tell us.
obviously not get divorced is the first step, and then the second,
I think you have to sort of learn from your mistakes. I have been to marriage counselling. It was for an article, but
shut up.
I imagine.
Yeah. Oh, it was the worst. You're darling.
I'm just here for work.
Yeah. I'm actually got paid for going to marriage counselling.
But we made up problems. I was like, we'll have to make up some problems. We're on the tube on the way to this guy's. We've got to make up some problems so we have something to talk about. And I didn't realise when we got there that wasn't going to be a problem at all. Once we started, it's like you can't go back. You can't put the lid back on. And you learn, the one thing you sort of learn is once you sort of, if you really do talk about things, you can't, it becomes embarrassing to keep doing the same thing wrong over and over after a while.
Mm.
So you learn to stop doing things that don't work, as we say, those of us who have been to marriage counselling for money.
You're like a weird prostitute. I can't really get my head around the economics of it.
My wife thinks, wife secretly, she doesn't really say so, I think she secretly thinks that she comes out great in every call.
I like her. I haven't met her.
And initially she used to just open the magazine in front of me and she'd sign, she'd say, I miss John Ronson so much. He was so funny.
We all miss John.
He was so funny. Oh. I was like, well, he had to stop. And then she started laughing at it and she started saying, I'm funny, you just write it down.
Well, look, while we're on the subject of husbands, can we do our game now, Helen? Can we do our game?
Yeah, why not? Let's just crack into the game. Yeah. Now we've got a game that I've devised called Did Our Husbands Really Say That? So the game is, Tim and the listener, is that Ellie and I are going to read out some quotes from our husbands, or maybe not, and you have to guess whether they're real or not.
Okay. True or false.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Tim, did Helen's husband actually say this?
Would you like my mum to show you how to hang out the washing properly?
Tim's thinking about it.
That sounds real to me.
Yeah, it is.
But I'm saying that because I think hanging out washing is a bit of a lost art.
Yeah.
Because everyone has dryers now.
Mmm.
I mean, I'm saying I could see a scenario where you would find yourself saying that and not regret it until you'd already said too much of it.
Yeah. Tim. Don't try and defend it.
Apparently I didn't hang the shirts on hangers to dry. I've just hung them on the dryer over the rack. Not like a normal person. Yeah.
Well, I've imagined the wrong scenario. It's inexcusable. <You're>
Correct. Ellie.
Okay. My turn. Tim, did my husband actually say this? You know, you look a bit like a white Bill Cosby.
I can't look at you while I am. I might have to leave the room and text you.
This was a long time ago, surely.
Did he say it?
Yes.
Yes, he did. That's
right.
These
all going to be true.
No.
Okay. He said, in his defence, he says it's when, and it was before all the Bill Cosby, all the horror came out, right? So just to lighten it up a little bit. He said it's when I do this expression that I do, which goes like this. I'm going to demonstrate it for Tim now, listeners. It's okay.
Oh my God, it's like he just walked into the room.
Well, there we are. Right, Helen's turn.
Did my husband say this? Boomba, boomba, boomba. When he walked behind me.
Are you married to Silvio Berlusconi?
And then said, did I say that out aloud?
Out aloud?
I'm gonna, for his sake, basically pretend that I think he's better than that and say that he didn't say that.
No, he did.
Well.
You're doing well, Tim. You're doing well.
Yeah.
Okay, here's another one for you.
It's funny now, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Oh, it's funny now. After all that couples therapy. So picture the scene, Tim. I'm 6 months pregnant with my second child, and I say to my husband, God, I feel enormous, you know. I feel like a whale. And does he say, oh, no, darling, you look like a beautiful whale? Did he say that, Tim? Did he?
Yes, he did.
No, Tim. What he said was, no, darling, you look like a beautiful pregnant whale.
That's a trick question.
I've got, while we're on, yeah, so I've, yeah, got another mammal themed one.
Okay.
Yeah.
After the birth of my first child, Tim, picture the scene. It's very romantic.
A bit later.
Yeah. We're in bed, perhaps a little bit post-coital. I think we all, you know, you don't have to actually picture it if you don't want to. And he's caressing my flank, and he says to me, you know, before you had children, your body was all sort of soft and smooth and firm like a dolphin. And I say, oh, what's it like now? And he says, it's sort of spongy. Did he say that, Tim? Did he say that?
I fear that he...
Yes, he did say that, Tim. He did say that. Helen, you go.
During my...
Are you enjoying it, Tim? Do you like the game?
Making me uncomfortable.
During my birth, Tim, about 12 hours in, did my husband say, do you know what? I'm really tired.
Oh, yeah. No, he would have done that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I said...
I did things like that.
Did you? Say,
that's what, I know what you mean. My back is killing me. That's,
yeah. Oh, and Tim then followed up with... by saying, but I've done a full day's work.
Okay, this is my last one. Did my husband once say to me, imagine the scene, it'd been a while since we'd had sex, and my husband said to me, look, darling, you know, let's stay in tonight, let's just watch a film, you know, and then we'll get a curry, and then we'll have a bit of the other, you know. And I said, you know, just being honest, but we always, like, eat too much curry because we really like it, and then we're all bloated and farty, and we don't really feel like having sex. Now, did my husband say, well, I tell you what we'll do, we'll eat half the curry, then we'll have sex, and then we'll eat the rest of the curry.
That sounds like a really good idea. Somebody is finally thinking about how to solve that problem.
I know.
No, I think he said something worse.
No, he did say that.
Good for him.
Okay, and my last one is, after I'd been at home with two small children, looking after them all day, and he came in about 8 o'clock at night. Did he say this, Tim? Oh no, not pasta again. Did he say that, Tim? Did he?
I think he might have.
Yes, he did.
Of course he did, Tim. Of course he did.
Sounds
have you known nothing about our husbands, Tim, in the 4 hours we've been playing this game? I'll cut it down a bit for the edit.
It's like, you know, when people tweet to me, they say, when I read your column, it's like you're looking in our window.
Yeah.
Now I know what they mean.
Yeah. Except we've locked the doors in a small house and made you sit here and listen to us.
You've got like half your next book there.
What I'm hearing sounds terribly familiar.
Yeah, good. Are we playing it back to you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, please don't leave.
What a good game!
Yes, and the winner of the game is Tim!
Yay!
Yes.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Everyone's a winner.
Comedy is the winner.
Yay!
What have we got now, Helen?
Band chat, Illy.
Band chat.
I can see here that the first question is, you're in a band! Exclamation point.
Yeah, she doesn't say. She's new to journalism. She's not going to be on the Today Show anytime soon.
Go on. State me the first question.
So, Tim, you're in a band. What do you play? Question mark.
He's really regretting it now. Really regretting it.
I play the banjo.
Is that a euphemism?
And you see,
no. If only it were a euphemism.
How long have you been playing the banjo?
I haven't been playing the banjo for much longer than I've been in the band. I got it given it for my 44th birthday. So 8 years I've been playing the banjo.
And what style of music do you play?
I think we used to call it urban bluegrass, but that didn't. Nobody felt like they knew more after we said that. But it falls into that sort of giant umbrella label of Americana.
Who are your big influences?
That's a good question. I mean, the thing is, everybody has these, you know, everybody has this kind of childhood of music that isn't like this.
Mm.
Rolling Stones. And everyone has, I have certain country influences like Hank Williams and people like that. It's very sort of basic. And then the Americana umbrella, which includes people like Wilco and all these sort of new bands who've come in, we all like. But I mean, for me, there's this kind of music. I came late to the schooling of it. And, you know, when I first picked up a banjo and couldn't play it at all, I started listening to banjo music for the first time ever, and I suddenly realised that a lot of it is awful.
Mm.
I mean, it's just, who listens to that? So you have to find kind of banjo players who you admire, otherwise you have no one to emulate.
Yeah.
You just think, this sucks.
Obviously, Mumford & Sons is a big influence on
We're like
work.
Mumford & Sons dads.
Mumford & Dads.
Mumford & Dads.
People sitting in an estate outside waiting to pick them up to take them out. Come on, you've got A-levels tomorrow.
So do you like the Cambridge Folk Festival? Where can people find you?
No, they can find us on our website, pleasetalkhogan.com. Wasn't taken. and we are playing in Lewis.
Oh, very posh.
Next month. We're doing Salt and Lewis. We'd like to do them in three groups of little tours, mini tours of three and four, and come home.
What song gets you on the dance floor? Are you a dancer, Tim? Do you like a boogie?
The person
that
lives within me that likes a boogie.
Yeah.
And I have never met.
Oh.
He's on the other side of the drinking threshold.
Oh, I see.
Someone said to me, I have that thing, because I remember being on holiday with a bunch of other families, and they were all talking about Night Tim. The person who I become after sort of 11, I suppose.
Oh.
Between 11 and whenever. And one of the sort of younger people in the group, some like a girl who's about 12, said, "What's Night Tim like?" And I said, "I don't know, I've never met him."
I want to meet him.
Oh.
What does Night Tim get up to?
Well, he dances. That I know, because there are pictures.
But have you got your hands in the air like you just don't care?
I sort of hate dancing, and I realise that the thing that I hate about it is that I am so inhibited.
Mm.
And if I'm drunk enough, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But what I'm interested is that your writing is so uninhibited. You put, like, as we said before, with a few exceptions, you put your whole life kind of on the page for everybody to read about. And you're not embarrassed about that. But why do you care about what, like, because my husband is a big fan of dancing. And I'm like, why do you care? Like, why do you care what these 50 or 100 people who are also all a bit drunk and dancing and silly, why do you care what they think of how you can move your body? Why does it matter to you? Why, Tim? Why?
I don't know. I mean, I think, I'm socially awkward and generally inhibited and shy generally. And I think lots of writers are like that because... You know, perversely, writing doesn't feel like a brave thing to do at all. To me, it feels like the perfect job for a coward. And I don't mind people that I don't know reading shit about me in any way.
Yeah.
I don't care. If you are socially awkward and shy and find it difficult to be in front of people, there is an element of that that is simply frustrating. You know, you think, I don't want to be like this. I want to be fun.
It's time, I think, Helen, for Scummy Mummy Confessions.
Hooray! Yes, let's do that.
Helen, do you want to go first?
Yeah, I the other day, and I don't swear in front of my kids very often, but I've had a week of sickness and my daughter vomited on my face yesterday morning at 5 a.m. And so I said, "Oh, for fuck's sake." Like, I just lost it. And then my little boy went, "What does fuck say mean? What's fuck say?" And I said, and then I instantly used the pop song, "What does the fox say?" So pop music saved my parenting. Nice. That's what I'm telling you. Yeah.
I remember my youngest child coming up to my office while I was working, and he sat down in this kind of chair behind me. I thought, it's nice. He's watching me work. He's only about 3 or 4. And he said, "Is this the fucking chair?" And I turned around, he's sitting in this old, sort of overstuffed corduroy armchair. And I said, I turned back before I answered him. I didn't want to do eye contact or anything. So I turned back to my computer and I said, "Sorry, what?" And he said, "Is this the fucking chair?" And I said, which chair? And he said, "The fucking chair that Mum wants you to take downstairs and put out front."
Excellent, excellent.
And I said, "Why, yes, it is."
Yeah. Yeah, my 7-year-old just started to learn to properly read. Like, so when you're on the tube and there's... But then there was an ad for Dirty Grandpa. She really loudly on the tube said, "Does dirty mean just one kind of dirty? Or is it another kind of dirty?" And we're like, no, he was. It's about being muddy. He's a muddy, muddy grandpa.
Okay, so we have a Scummy Mummy listener confession. This is from Claudia or Claudia. I don't know. Sorry if I've said it wrong.
Yeah.
I've said it twice, so I must have said it right once. So stop complaining. What are you talking about? she's got a 14-month-old. And she says, "The other morning we adjourned from the kitchen to the sitting room after breakfast, where I instructed the kid, 'Now you play nicely with your toys while Mummy tidies up a bit.' And then she's put, 'Like, seriously, what is the point of toys? All babies want to play with his scissors and glass and iPhones.' Anyway, she's digressing. I turn around to pick up a mug, and the first thing that Ziggy decides to play with is my empty gin and tonic glass from the night before. I turn around at the point she puts a piece of old gin-soaked lime in her mouth and sucks ravenously on it." Oh, you'd think I'd have the sense by now to pick up the booze-related item first. You'd think so, wouldn't you, Claudia, Claudia? But you didn't. So well done. Thank you for sharing. Oh, that was a great confession.
I like that one.
So I've got one. I had a very important meeting the other day, and I really needed the loo, and I sort of went into this office and I didn't really know anyone. I was like, "Oh, can I use the loo?" And they were like, "Oh, there's someone in the ladies and she's gonna be a while." Didn't like to ask why. But there's you know, you can use the men's if you don't mind. And I just went, "I've had 2 children, I can't wait." And so just in the middle of this office with people I've never met, who just looked at me like, what?
Because that's what they want to do, is think of your pelvic floor.
That's really what they wanted to talk about. It wasn't even particularly
Gibson,
funny.
I'll be here all week.
Yeah, yeah. And then I just had a pee in a men's toilet, so good times. Tim, have you got anything else you want to get off your chest?
I need to go way back for that. I mean, because they... I mean, certainly the most, I suppose, actionable thing I've ever done was I left one of my children in a fish shop, a baby in a fish shop. I just forgot that I had a child.
Well, like on the counter in between the haddock and
to be fair, he was new. He was, you know.
Was it second, third?
Third.
Fair enough. Yeah.
You know, fish shops, I find fish shops very stressful.
Yeah.
Because I always think, unlike most shops, a fishmonger is always trying to sell you
something. Old shit.
Old shit.
Yeah.
And also, I then pretend like I know a lot more about fish than I do.
Like, oh, no, I'm not having that one.
So I got very weird. I there was a long queue, and he was 6 weeks old, maybe. And he was in a
small
big pram. So I parked the pram, put the brake on, away from the fish guts and everything.
Yeah.
In the queue. And I waited in the queue, and I was like, no, I'm getting more and more stressed. And I ended up, it didn't go well. I ended up buying 2 dozen goose barnacles. Which cost a fortune.
I was just thinking...
Well, it's a nightmare. It's trying to scrape them off the geese, isn't it?
I was just walking down the road to meet my wife at some playground where she was with the other two, and I was just thinking, she's gonna say, "What the fuck did you buy goose barnacles for?" And then she's going to ask to see the bill, and I'm going to have to show her how much a goose barnacle costs and tell her that I bought 24 of them. And I thought, that's what she's going to say, but that's not what she said. She said, "Where's the baby?"
Oh, Tim.
Oh, Jesus.
And I just dropped the goose barnacles and I ran all the way back. And he was asleep in his pram in the queue. And I think the queue was so long that people just thought that the next people in the queue probably belonged to the child. I don't know what they thought when I came running and panting and ran off with a pram with a baby in it. I didn't stay to find out. I sometimes worry that if that happens in America, that I'd be in jail now.
Probably.
Yeah.
I did the opposite, which is I showed up at the supermarket without a pound coin.
Oh.
I was in a sort of fury, and I was going to do the 2-basket thing where you put everything in 2 baskets. And
Give yourself scoliosis of the spine.
And I went and I found the free double baby trolley, yes, which has two baby seats like that, and I walked around with that through the whole supermarket with transparently no babies in it, knowing that it's basically the only one in the car park.
Yeah.
Thinking to myself, if someone comes up to me with two crying babies, I will hand it over. If they don't, they, you know, it's their fault for bringing two babies to a supermarket.
Yeah.
And I got all the way to the checkout and I thought I was all done. And the guy said to me, are you collecting school vouchers? And I said, no. And the woman behind me said, no, he doesn't have any, he's lost his kids. That's why. He's lost his kids. And she was like furious. I wasn't. And I said, and I looked at the thing. I didn't know what she was talking about at first. I was like, I what? And she goes, you've lost your kids, haven't you? And I looked at the trolley, looked back at her, and I said, they were here a minute ago. And she went, were they? And I said, most times, they usually find their way back to the car.
We've come to the end of the podcast. Thank you very much for being our guest, Tim Dowling.
Thank you. It's been marvellous.
Is there anything you want to sell or plug before you go to... Of course, your book, How to Be a Husband, is available in all good shops and Amazon. Pay a tax, Amazon!
I think it's still available in some bad shops as well.
Yes, thank you very much, Tim, for being an amazing guest. Thank you, Claudia, for your brilliant Scummy Mummy listener confession. If you've got one you'd like to share, please email scummymummiespodcast@gmail.com.
And we're on the social media, aren't we, Ellie?
We are.
We're at Twitter, at Scummy Mummies. We're on Instagram and we're on Facebook.
All right. Thank you ever so much for listening. Until next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I think we're down to one dog, one cat, one tortoise.
Three children. God, that's enough.
It seems plenty to me.
I think so. That's all our mouths to feed.
Steady on, Noah. Right.
I reckon you'll get another
one,
though.
I don't want the tortoise to mate. I don't want... I think he's too old. I think he's a she, actually. He's really old.
Wow, okay.
It has got... I mean, I don't think it's growing anymore, but I think it was...
Are you sure it's still alive?
It's this time of year, it's hard to tell. Yeah. No, we use them to sort of hold the kitchen door open.
Amazing.
He's like a decorative doorstop.
What's his name?
We used to call him Old Man. And then we took him to the vet and found out he was a woman. and always had been. He's not transitioning. Or
no. But that's his choice.
It's all of age, isn't it? Wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. Yeah. Don't make us no platform you, Tim.
Oh, this is... I didn't want to go here. This is the last thing I wanted to end up talking about.
Your transgender tortoise? What are you talking about?
This is not how he wanted it to go.
Old Tiresias, as she's going to be called now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.